let me start with a quiz. What are life sciences and why should you care about them, especially if you live in British Columbia? I know, it's not a topic that's on the top of your mind or off the tip of your, rolls off the tip of your tongue, but maybe, just maybe, it ought to. Not just because we're just past the one-year mark of a global pandemic that desperately needs life sciences to vaccinate and treat COVID-19 and all of its variants. Life sciences are the disciplines that study the sciences of biology, biochemistry, and biomedicine, cell biology, genetics, molecular biology, botany, and so much more. So why should you care? It's especially in BC, because here we're home to more than 1,100 life science companies that employ more than 18,000 people, all of them with well-paying jobs. And in our universities, there's more than 22,000 students studying life sciences. It all adds up to a terrific shot in the arm to the BC economy. $5.4 billion in revenue, $1.6 billion in GDP, and more than $500 million in exports. While the resource sector in BC remains at the core of the province's economy, life science success stories like Stem Cell Technologies and Zymeworks are forming a center of excellence here that is growing. All good news, until you realize most emerging life science companies run into an age-old problem here in BC, that being capital. The investment money that is needed to push these companies onto the world stage is hard to come by. In fact, of the more than 1,100 companies in the sector, most have fewer than 50 employees. They're small companies. We invited Wendy Hulbert, the president and CEO of Life Sciences BC, to join us for a conversation that matters about the remarkable intellectual assets we have in BC and why we need to support them to the benefit of all of us. Wendy, thank you for joining me.
Thanks very much for having me.
Let's start with this. The people and the brain power we have here, it's extraordinary. And why is it that we need to not only support their efforts to unravel the mysteries of life science, what do we need to do to ensure that they can do this important work here in BC and stay here into the future?
Well, you're right. We have extraordinary people here, and in our world-class academic institutions like UBC and SFU and UVic, not only are we developing amazing scientific talent, but we're also attracting scientific talent from across the globe that come. There's countless stories of people that have decided to relocate to British Columbia, whether because they're in their early stages of their academic career or as professors and researchers. And coming out of that is where the innovation starts. In the life sciences sector, we always say it always starts with world-class science. And that world-class science is created by people. And yes, there is infrastructure required to support that creation. So then the next step, which is what you're talking about. So we have some great science. It is actually commercially viable. And we want to bring it out of the lab and into the marketplace. And in order to do that, we talk about there's critical enablers that are required. Capital, continued talent, because the talent that finds and generates and discovers the science isn't always the talent that actually commercializes it or can take it into a viable, strong, growing company. We also need infrastructure. A lot of our innovation gets paused, I guess, in universities because of a lack of lab space that we have available for these companies to jump out into. We also need access to markets and access to infrastructure beyond labs. So whether it's a regulatory environment, you know, streamlined tax policies, other policies to incent people to create companies here, employ people here, and bring that return on that scientific investment back to British Columbians.
Okay, so whose responsibility is it to create that environment? Is it supposed to be left to the marketplace, or is this really government and free markets working together to create an environment that will foster, support, and grow these centers of excellence and this kind of community that allows us to continue to build upon successes?
Well, our perspective is, of course, that it's collaborative. It's not entirely up to the government to do this. We're not trying to become a state where everything is run by the government, nor can it be done in absence of government partnerships. You know, Life Sciences BC is a unique organization, is that we're where all the stakeholders that intersect in life sciences come together. So we have the academics, we have researchers as members, and we have the small emerging companies, of which you just talked about. There are many of them with great ideas. And then we have the larger biotechs, as well as the global players. But along with that, the government is a critical partner, whether it's in developing policies that encourage behavior. You know, a lot of our government policies are really about encouraging certain types of behaviors and actions from within society. But government can also play a role in funding. And they do play a significant role today in funding both our academic institutions and our research institutions. But can the government do more in also helping funding, creating that infrastructure and those enablers to help us grow companies? And it also, you know, it's everybody really working together. Industry has a huge role to play. We have what I don't think a lot of people realize is a number of global pharma companies invest heavily in British Columbia. And many of those companies that you talked about at the beginning had investments early on, but from global pharma companies. And the global pharma companies aren't investing just because they think, well, isn't British Columbia a wonderful place to invest? They're investing because they see great science in our ecosystem that they want to be a part of scaling and taking advantage and leveraging.
Do they, though, because they are global in nature, say, okay, we'll use British Columbia as an incubator for all of this, but as it plays itself out and is proven with many of these things, they need to get FDA approval. But at that point, that not all of them stay because those global investors have invested heavily in that. They say, now we're going to take it somewhere else. Is there a way in which we can, I guess, give them an incentive to say, no, keep it here and continue to grow it here?
You're right. We do lose a lot of our innovation. In fact, today, April 14th is the 100th year anniversary of the creation of insulin, which is a Canadian-born innovation, which unfortunately, for lots of reasons, we sold off many, many years ago and haven't necessarily reaped the 100 years of financial benefit. But we have reaped the 100 years of the Canadian innovation that has really significantly changed the lives for people with diabetes that are insulin dependent. So we still should be very proud of that innovation. But let's make sure that Canadian-born innovation, we actually also get the financial benefit in addition to the health benefit. So yes, there are things that we can do. There's been a lot of talk recently with some of our larger companies and the successes that they've had as they've gone public. They've been encouraged to look at other jurisdictions to go public into in order to be in environments that may be more tax friendly for the taxation of IP. And also just other incentives that other jurisdictions have that may be better at attracting capital. Now, here's the good news, though. We have amazing assets in British Columbia. We have so much to be proud of. Coming out of UBC, if you look at COVID-19 alone, you know, a great example of how an ecosystem works is the Pfizer vaccine. So Acuitas, a UBC spin-out that has been around for many, many years, was partnering with BioNTech on developing cancer vaccines using mRNA technology. COVID-19 hit, they pivoted, in swoops Pfizer, who has the ability to scale, and we have a vaccine that is being delivered to people's arms today. Mm-hmm. That is how ecosystems work, and that's amazing when you see the collaboration of what happens throughout that ecosystem. And Acuitas is still sitting in BC. It's privately held. If it was publicly held, you know, how do we ensure that we keep those companies here, that they attract that capital, yet enable them to develop those global partnerships to be able to have the benefit of that innovation?
Well, I think it also touches on the point that you want those companies to be here so that those next generations of bright minds that are graduating from those universities have a place to stay. You know, I'm reminded of a conversation that I had with Mark O'Meara a couple of years ago. He said that when he graduated from school here, the idea of being able to, you know, build out his career just wasn't possible in British Columbia. Thankfully, you know, Michael Smith Foundation and research through BC Cancer brought him back. But we need to be able to create and build on that environment that keeps what is really our most valuable resource, the human intellect, here in British Columbia.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's where we're at a critical point in the ecosystem right now because of where we are. And, you know, we for the first time actually have scale. So we actually have places that people can go work, which will in turn take all of those companies that you were referring to at the beginning and give them the opportunity to grow. So in BC, we have the largest biotech in Canada as an employer. You mentioned them, StemCell. We have the three largest biotechs by market cap, being AbCellera, Zymeworks, and Aurinia. We have the largest medical device design company. Now, it's not all about being huge, but what that does is it helps develop people who in turn can go and spin off. So when you look at BC as a very strong center for antibodies globally, we are known for that in our expertise. That all started with a number of companies that came out of UBC, and you can follow some of the leaders who jumped from company to company and grew and developed along the way. One of those being Ali Tirani, who now runs Zymeworks.
Right.
And that's the ecosystem growth. You know, well, so we really, you know, we need to really be able to create those opportunities and support our companies to be able to grow and scale.
And I think we need more people like Ali Tirani. He's a remarkable guy, not just because of the work that he's doing, but also his forever commitment to saying we are going to, you know, we're going to play an important role in building out this ecosystem so that there can be more of this. So as you look forward in the next year or two, what are the most interesting challenges and opportunities that are ahead of us that we should be all embracing and celebrating here in British Columbia?
Well, first of all, as I say, we have so much to be proud of. And I think we at BC actually need to, we sometimes suffer from the tall poppy syndrome, right? We really need to stand up boldly and celebrate. We are world class. You know, we are one of the strongest biotech sectors in Canada right now. Based off of the data you were referring to was from 2018. We're probably one of the fastest growing sectors in British Columbia right now. We don't have current data, but we're creating jobs. I mean, clearly I'm biased, but I don't think there's any sector that is better positioned right now to help drive both the economic recovery and competitiveness of our province, while the innovative solutions, products, and services that are being generated through this sector and through local and national and global partnerships are critical to ensure the sustainability and security of our healthcare system. And so when you look ahead at what is ahead of us, we need to address these things in order for us to get our society back to where we are. So we should, not only should we be proud, we should be wanting to embrace this and grow this sector so we can continue to create jobs and have the ability to not only get the return on our great science, but ensure that we have access to our great science and what that science has produced. So it's a super exciting time.
So one of the elements, of course, and a big part of it is research. What are some of the unique advantages that British Columbia can use to attract other researchers or other companies to say, come and do your research here in British Columbia because we have this unique ecosystem that like you're going to want to be a part of? What is the BC advantage?
I think there's a couple of things that BC has. I mean, one, we have amazing world-class institutions. I mean, you know, UBC is recognized globally. I've met many researchers who, you know, I talk to them, I listen to their career. Similar to me, I lived overseas at two points in my life, and I came back. And, you know, I say, why'd you come? And it's all like the researchers, it's always the science. It's always the, I met so-and-so at a conference somewhere. I couldn't believe how far ahead they were on this particular topic, and I wanted to work with them. That's, you don't get better stories than that, really. So we have world-class research. I think in British Columbia, we have a uniqueness of size and diversity. And I say that in the context of so many people over the last 20 years have moved here, that they have deep roots other places. And with them, when they come here, they bring those roots. So we seem to be very, very good at global collaboration, and we're not scared of it. We're not myopic that everything has to happen within British Columbia. We go and we're very capable at finding partners globally while still retaining here. To your point, there's a lot of leaders here that are very passionate about being here. And so they'll jump on. I commuted to Philadelphia for 2 years from Vancouver. They'll jump on planes. And so I think we have a very strong commitment in that science. What we need to do is figure out how to scale companies. Mm-hmm. We're very good at discovery. And so, you talk to some of our leaders that will say, we should go on a campaign of bringing back our Canadians that ended up leaving because of commercial opportunities elsewhere, and figure out how to create the environment that we can bring them back. And right now, we don't have a lot of incentives because of some of our structures in place that end up bringing them back, short of the fact that in Vancouver, we always like to talk about we have great mountains, we have beautiful scenery, it's a wonderful place to live. But also, how can we ensure that we create it, that it's also a wonderful place to build great companies, like what you talked about with StemCell and Ali Tirani and Carl Hansen and a number of them right now. Scott Phillips on Vancouver Island with his medical device design company. Mm-hmm.
Is it realistic to look at, the fact that medical health insurance for primary people, especially talented primary people, is significantly less than here than it would be in, let's say, Philadelphia?
Well, I think the thing about it is it's sometimes really difficult to only pick up one piece of the cost of living in a particular jurisdiction. We often like to think, broadly sometimes think about ourselves as having a fully socialized funded healthcare system, but the reality is it's not. Our healthcare system is publicly funded on some levels, on other levels it's not. Private insurance plays a significant role in that. And so people sometimes want to compare one aspect of the cost of living without looking at the entire package of it. And then, of course, it's very personal for people. But I think thinking about it more broadly, How do we ensure, back to your point, creating an environment that will attract capital, attract talent, that is friendly to helping people grow companies? So, a streamlined regulatory environment, looking at how do we, and this isn't a life sciences issue, this is, broadly a knowledge economy innovation issue. How do we tax and incent the innovation that we create here to stay here and not be taken outside of our country? That's an important aspect. So as people want to scale, and many of our leaders and other sectors leaders have been on record saying, as soon as I want to go public, I've been encouraged to take my IP outside of Canada.
Right. And we want them to stay here and grow this company. And if that also ultimately means that they leave that company, we want them to be serial entrepreneurs here.
Exactly. And, so getting back to it for life sciences, it always starts with the great science in the world-class institutions. And of course, we could be doing more research, but I feel super proud about what comes out of British Columbia. It's amazing, again, and also very collaborative sometimes. So let's ensure that we create the environment that we're attracting the capital that we are attracting the talent to keep the talent here. We're leveraging the assets that we have and creating that infrastructure. So as I say, labs are actually a critical issue for us right now. I get approached by small companies that are spinning out of academia and they can't find lab space. So they start looking at other jurisdictions. That is an example of something that would involve a public-private partnership. Right. So as I say, I don't want, you know, not all roads lead to the government. It's really around collaboration across the ecosystem to help right. generate that economic value and benefit. But again, for life sciences also to ensure that we're actually taking advantage of this innovation that is so critical. I mean, COVID-19 exposed a number of challenges that we have within our healthcare system. We have a lot to be proud of in our Canadian healthcare system, but we know we have some challenges. And we want to work together to address those. And innovation is a big part of that, whether it's be products, solutions, or processes.
This sector is, I guess, agnostic about gender, about cultural background. Like, the opportunities are available to everyone. And I think that's one of the other great elements of this as a sector. It's everybody gets to participate.
Absolutely. It's a very diverse sector. Certainly there are opportunities where we can be stronger as we look at diversity, equity, and inclusion, like most sectors. But I would say its starting point is from a diverse background as you look around. A couple of months ago where we actually did a session with HR leaders within the sector on diversity and inclusion. And as we're getting to have some companies of larger scale, many of our companies are looking at putting formalized diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in place to really ensure that not only are they attracting an appropriate diverse group of people, but we're all.
Yeah.
And so it's really important in diversity and inclusion, and diverse companies are more successful. There's tons of data that has been developed to support that. So we have a great opportunity, you're right, in that area as well.
Yeah. So it's an exciting sector, and I'm happy to see that you know, there is this continued growing force that is pushing us forward, because I think that it beyond just being, you know, great for life sciences, it's great for the diversity in the economy in British Columbia. It moves us, it gives us, it bolsters us, I guess, against some of the fluctuations in global markets around resources. And it draws on what is our most important natural resource, human intelligence.
I could not agree more.
Yeah. Wendy, thank you very much. I really appreciate you taking the time to have this conversation with me.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. It was a pleasure.